Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Why is it snowing? Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
And it's snowing on April 8th. I'm as frustrated as everyone else at this point. To hell with it.
Okay. Damn it, Buffalo.
Buffalo can't get their stuff together. And it's delaying some Buffalo baseball, by the way. Poor Pat Malacaro. I mean, he might, based on how things are going, he might break Ben's record for 0-5 to start the season.
He might.
He just might. And I feel so
bad.
But
that's just not even Buffalo, though. That's other.
It's out in Rochester.
It's out in Rochester.
But the weather ain't getting its stuff together, Frank.
No, it's not.
I hate it. Yeah. And we just started off a sports podcast being angry about the weather. Welcome to Buffalo. And thank you for listening on the Leftovers Podcast on WGR. 550.com on demand audio. As I said, I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
And we are joined by a person who didn't put his phone on silent.
Apologies.
The younger brother of Shady Joe.
Sneaky Joe, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sneaky Joe, Derek.
I keep saying Shady Joe, and I don't
sneaky.
Know.
I mean, Shady works too. He's pretty shady when you think about it.
But it's Shady, Sneaky, there's sin in
there. Not like Shady McCoy.
I like
more.
Sneaky Joe better.
Yeah, no, it's Sneaky Joe.
It's Sneaky Joe.
It is Sneaky Joe. Yeah. But yes, the younger brother of Sneaky Joe, we've got Lou DiBiase.
What's up, Derek? DiBiase. Frank, same peeps, different studio.
Same peeps, different studio. Back in the old days of Buff State.
Rocking the old college squad.
Now rocking it here at WGR.
I like it.
So. It's been an interesting sort of week. Not always in the good way, though. This is going to be a weird start to the podcast here, Frank, because we
when
talked
is
about
it not?
Weather, and no, I'm talking like this is unconventional even for us because we started with the weather being angry and bitching about it, and now, dude, that the Humboldt Broncos story, it breaks my heart.
Yeah,
and
it really does.
Every story I keep seeing, every tweet that I see the dead have been identified, and it crushes you to have to read that sort of thing. And the first thing I could think of about that, it happens on a team bus, and that's where you make friends on the team. You know,
that was the most exciting part for me of being on a sports team was like the team bus going to away games. Like the team bus is where like you grew with your teammates.
You grew
that's
as
why
a team.
It's even
you grew
tougher.
As a team. You grew as friends, and. For that to happen, I mean, even just for a regular bus accident, you can't get to your dang game. But for it to have gone that much further and that much more horrifically, it sucks. And
it's
all the thoughts of not just the hockey community, but everyone everyone in Buffalo that has even watched a glimpse of hockey, anyone that's been a part of sports, hell, anyone that has a family, you know, like all of us, you know, you're in our thoughts. And
it was cool seeing some of the players too. There was a picture taken I saw on Twitter. Three of the players were in the hospital and they were recovering from their injuries. They were all holding hands. So I thought that was really cool. It's been cool to see everyone rally around them on Twitter and over the internet.
And that's all that you can do at this point, because unfortunately, like I said, that just it just breaks your heart. But again, everyone's behind you, especially here in Buffalo from WGR. If they if they ever catch a snippet of this, or if anyone hears this, and you know, hey, I gotta say that it breaks my heart, and I hate that I have to even talk about something like this, because I would never have fathomed it. You know, being on a bus ride, for example, like playing football, I'm going out to Albion. It's like a 2.5 hour bus ride, and I would have never thought of that as a thing that could have happened. So, again, our thoughts are with you guys out there in Humboldt, and you know, you can never replace what has been lost, but the recovery process and the hopes and the rallying around you is going to be there for you.
Of course.
So, all right, enough with a little bit of the sad parts of the reality, because we've got Louis here. We got Frank here. I don't know which direction we're going to go in.
It's right, two very opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
This is true.
I think, Frank, me and you are polar opposites when it comes to sports fans.
In a way, yes.
One likes hockey.
Yeah.
One likes basketball more.
Yeah.
We share a mutual interest in golf.
In golf?
Then we're both street hockey goalies.
Yeah.
You ice as well. Not me as
all
much.
Well, I guess that's
we're
one
finding some common ground here.
Yeah. I think we found some common ground.
There we go.
Why don't we go to that common ground?
Okay.
Because there's only this thing called the Masters.
It's just the Masters.
It's just the Masters.
It's no just big the deal. Masters, yeah.
It's the most beautiful tournament in sports.
There it is.
I
never thought
I'd
call a sporting event beautiful, but that's how you define Augusta.
It's probably the most exclusive course in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be. You have to be, in order to even play on that course, you got to be like a premium member of that club. And it's so hard to get in. So,
and it's the most prestige event tournament in golf.
It is.
So, I mean, you get getting the green jacket.
It's a tradition unlike any other. Mm-hmm. No, wait, that's Howard picking the Bills.
Some part of the process can be very degrading. You know, a couple of years ago, last year when Spieth collapsed
in the Masters? Two years ago.
How hard is it, too, that he, because the previous year, that winner puts the jacket on the new winner.
Yep.
And Spieth had to put the jacket on the new winner.
Yeah.
Which is, so part of the Masters too can be pretty degrading when Spieth had to go up there with his jacket on, the look on his face, and he's got to put a jacket on.
Knowing that you had a chance to win,
right? It
kind of
collapse,
it
and then to
hurt.
Add insult to injury, you have to put the jacket on the new winner. That
it does.
That's
it
a
does
part
hurt.
Of golf. You golf's all about class, you know. It's a white collar sport, I would like to say, and you know, having that part of golf, it kind of doesn't really reflect the sport. I kind of like it.
Danny Willett won it in
Danny Willett,
2016.
It's a random winner.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
He ended up beating Spieth by three shots.
That's the difference,
really,
Frank. I think between me and you as golf fans, I just want the star power to win all the time, because I don't think I'm a diehard fan enough
it's
to
great.
Get pulled in by the Danny Willetts of the world.
Yeah. It's always great when the star power wins. You know, that's that
so
was
I mean,
why
heading into
that
the
was
weekend,
how everybody yeah. that was why everybody got into golf, you know, when we were all younger, because it was Tiger. He was always winning. He was the guy. He was the top dog of golf.
And I think this weekend we had some star power. You look at the top five heading into the weekend, you had Spieth, McIlroy, Dustin Johnson all in the top five. So the big names were definitely in it heading into the weekend.
And the big names are still there now. You got Rory, who is three shots behind the leader, Patrick Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the final grouping for today. Ricky Fowler, he's still in contention.
He's at 9-under, so he's
9-under, yep. Henrik Stenson's at 7. You got Spieth at 5. He's kind of slowed down a bit.
He's 9-under. He's 9 back. He's pretty much
Justin Thomas, same thing. DJ's 10 back as well. But, I mean, these are still the top guys, and they're all right around the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
That right there tells you the success.
The cool part about
dogs.
Today, too, is that Reed and McIlroy are paired up together today.
Yep.
So you know, McIlroy needs a couple bad holes from Reed to really get back in this, because three down is still a pretty big deficit in golf. But McIlroy was hot yesterday, and if his short game continues today what it was yesterday and Reed has a couple bad holes, we could see this get really interesting at the end of this round.
All Rory has to do is get hot. That's right. That's all he has to do. If he can get a string of birdies together, especially on that back nine, and Patrick Reed's going to be forced to try to do some things that he's not comfortable doing, because he's got to stay ahead of Rory. It's only a 3-shot lead. That's not a lot in golf.
And Reed,
I was going to say that's a differing opinion there, because you said that's still quite a bit of a hole, and you just said that's not big of a deal.
I don't think it is, because if you look at in three holes, Rory could have three birdies. Patrick Reed could have three pars.
Right.
And all of a sudden,
again, McIlroy's got to stay really hot.
And that's why I say if McIlroy gets hot, especially on the back nine, Reed's going to have to do what he can to start making birdies. And if any part of his game is starting to struggle, Rory's going to overtake him.
McIlroy really can't afford to have any bad holes today.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to be
his bad holes have
consistent
to be pars
throughout. And he's got, yeah, right, exactly. You know, his low point has to be pars. If he's getting any bogeys, he's going to dig himself a hole. And for Reed, his game is more geared towards the short game.
Yep.
You know, he's great with chipping, and putting is his strong suit. So McIlroy could take advantage. His long game's got to keep it going, where McIlroy, to me, is a more well-rounded player. So, you know, with Reed, if he hits a couple bad chips or putts here and there, that could open the door for McIlroy to come in. I really want to see a close one today. I think we will look at you know, some of the extras we had to go into a couple years ago. It just, close golf is underrated in sports. It's a fun finish.
It's so much fun.
And
fun to watch.
For moving day, there wasn't really much movement up at the top. I mean, Patrick Reed was still hanging on and then surging further with that lead. Rory coming storming in now to second after he was only in fifth, though. Henrik Stenson, Bubba Watson, Mark Leishman. Leishman did move down. He was second heading into the third round, and now he's down to six under. So there was some movement. Jordan Spieth, you know, the way that he finished out the second round was fantastic.
Right.
But then, you know, he kind of tapered off there in the third while the leads were growing.
How about Tommy Fleetwood?
Yeah.
Frank, you saw Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, he had a heck of a third round after being even par heading into the weekend, putting himself in contention.
He got some booming drives. He's an interesting guy I had never heard of before yesterday, and long hair too.
I'm a little
like
sad that Tony Finau ended up slowing down there, because what a story that would have been.
That would have been a great story.
Dislocating your ankle, popping the SOB back in immediately, like it was no big deal.
Has there been a grittier golf performance?
No.
Golf's not one of the sports you think, like, this is where legends are made. Toughness.
After round one, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm. You don't see toughness a lot in golf.
No, you don't.
Like, when you think of golf injuries, I don't think ankle that looks like a right angle 90 degrees would be one of the things I would hear about.
No,
but
the thing you look back to is Tiger hitting that drive and instantly going down to his knees because his back got injured. You know, you don't see that kind of gruesome injury.
But then you don't see him popping his back
disgusting
into place.
Yeah, you don't.
Vile.
It was incredible. I was immediately, I'm a fan of Tony Finau now because of that.
Yeah.
That is
absolutely
it. I mean,
I think he did
unfortunately get caught hot dogging a little bit, strutting backwards, and then, you know, that happened. But at the same time, you just put some old time hockey grittiness toughness.
I put some tape on it, get back
in
there.
Golf,
yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa, okay, I'm back.
I'm in.
gotta find a way to bring in new viewers.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was, but he's still one under, and you know what? It's still a great story to see, though, that instead of having to bow out of the Masters, he's tied for 15th.
Can we talk about Tiger real quick?
Yes, like, we do have to talk.
He's 40th right now. He made the cut. He's at, a plus three, I think, right now, Frank?
Four. Plus four.
Plus four?
He's now at four.
I got duped. I feel duped. A lot of the media was hyping up Tiger Woods.
Media was hyping up Phil.
Vegas
a lot,
had
too.
Him. Yeah, Phil has had the worst round ever at Augusta, or worst weekend he's ever had at Augusta. And, you know, you look at Tiger, and he had the highest odds in Vegas. And normally Vegas gets a lot of things right. Their odds aren't off a lot of the time. And he had the highest chance of winning the Masters, and he's in 40th right now. I feel like they overhyped the Tiger Woods headlines to, you know, heading into the weekend to try to pull in more viewers, because obviously, like, Tiger Woods put golf on the map in the 21st century.
I mean did it work?
When you ask about everyone, it did. And it didn't. It pulled me in. And I'm a guy that doesn't consistently watch golf. I like the sport, and I grew up on it. I like playing it. I won't sit down every day during a tournament and watch for 4 or 5 hours, but Tiger Woods being in it and playing to a decent level did pull me in, so it worked. But he is not on the level that I think the media was talking him up to be at right now, and he's in 40th. And then you have Nike not allowing the leader in the Masters to wear red and black today because it's that's Tiger's colors. And Reed also has a deal with Nike. And it's just, I felt duped with Tiger again. And, you know, he hasn't won in a very long time. And I think I'm over it. I think I'm over the Tiger Woods hype. Stop shoving it down my throat about Tiger. He's 40 plus now. I think it's over with him. I really do.
I think it's something that happens in the event of, you know, past glory. And it's not just with Tiger. It's something that happens very often. It can be from small scale, just city only, to a grand scale. You like to see the comeback. You like to see that kind of story.
You like to
see the great name that everyone recognizes doing well.
But they have highest odds from Vegas.
That was just smart of them, because you knew you were going to get suckers for it. Even if he wasn't golfing at his best, they could have put high odds on him. I mean, it's still would have gotten people to take a bite.
Mm-hmm.
So the Vegas thing, I'm not necessarily worried about. It's about people not wanting to let go of the past for me. And but Tiger is not the same guy he was. He never will be. It will never be that way again.
But he was also hot heading into this tournament, because I think he finished second. Yeah.
So he did have the one good tournament, which gave some people hope. You know, he hit that one deep putt. It looked like he had his short game back.
He still, at the time, was looking like the old Tiger.
He's getting into his drives. You don't see him having the same limitations he had before when he wasn't healthy. And but I see so many people make up excuses for Tiger Woods on Twitter. Someone said the new flower that was just grown at Augusta, Tiger's allergic to. That's why he hasn't been playing as well so far this weekend at Augusta.
Yeah, no, But again,
the Tiger Woods fan base is diehard.
Though, I was excited to see if Tiger could hold his own in the Masters heading into it, because of the fact that I wanted to see if the, would it take off? Would everything just blow up all over again if he was able to hold his own in this and stay in a top 10 finish or something? Could you imagine what the conversation would be like after that?
Oh, it'd be crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If Tiger was back.
I was interested to see that. And if Tiger was back and he was able to hold his own there in the Masters, there'd be a lot of hype going into the next.
Has there been an athlete that has changed their sport more than Tiger Woods in golf?
Sport? No. I don't think so.
I don't mean is he the best athlete, because, you know, you compare him to the LeBron James of the worlds and Michael Jordan and whoever in every sport, but I don't think anyone has changed the outlook of a sport more than Tiger Woods and has pulled in more fans that weren't with it.
The closest I can think of is Michael Vick helping to transform the quarterback position, but that's not a whole sport. That's a position.
It's just like Tiger carries golf on his shoulders. You look, when Tiger was out of it for those few years, golf's ratings were very low.
They needed a hero.
They needed a star, and luckily McIlroy and Spieth started coming along.
Yep.
And, you know, McIlroy hasn't won in a while, but he can still get the grand slam if he were to win, you know, today. So they needed that. I think star power is very important for golf, because there can be a lot of random players that win it and you're not really familiar with those guys. And I think that, you know, we like parity. I think people say we like parity in a lot of sports, but you want recognizable names. You like star power. And I think that also translates in golf. And Tiger Woods has carried the PGA on his back throughout the 2000s. And, you know, you saw that. You saw that ratings dip when he was gone. And I feel like it would have been huge for him to have a good weekend at the Masters, and not getting it, I think, is a big loss for the PGA, but it's a star-powered thing. But again, Tiger changed the sport and put it on the map, and I don't think a league or just a sport rides more on one athlete than golf does with Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I feel like depending on the sport, that's where I like my parity, depending on the sport. Situation-dependent. Yeah. First round of the...
I want justified parity. You know, I don't want random teams in the Super Bowl. I want, you know, like in the NBA, for instance, I don't want the Utah Jazz taking on the Atlanta Hawks in the finals just because they're different teams. What I want is eight different teams in each conference that have legitimate players that you want to watch. And of those, then you let them duke it out. Like, for instance,
you let
the
them
NBA
decide
right now,
for themselves.
Yeah,
if they are the best teams.
For instance, in the Western Conference right now in the NBA, you got the Thunder with Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony. Then you got Golden State with KD, Curry, Draymond, Clay. You know, the Spurs with Kawhi. Houston's got Harden and Chris Paul. That's the kind of parity I want, where I don't really want the underdog that have a bunch of random players. I
want
justified parity, if that makes sense.
The NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the 16 seeds.
Now, I will never be able to, like, the fact that a 16.
That's crazy.
Not just beat the overall one seed. They dominated.
They dominated.
And I loved it as a UB fan, you know, seeing them take out Arizona, but that's my team.
Like I said, though, like, as you need it in certain branches, because the first round of the NCAA tournament, that's where the true chaos happens.
Yeah.
And that's where it's its most fun. But then you saw it toward the end. You had two one seeds on one side, and then you had you had an 11 and a 3. And the result was fairly predictable at the end. Yeah. Villanova beating Michigan in a rather convincing
fashion.
Shot the
lights out of everybody.
And again, that's one of those things where you kind of saw it coming as the tournament was taking its shape.
Yeah.
The first round, it could be chaotic. It could be fun. However, does it impact the championship or the Final Four? And that's where we saw that happen.
Right.
Loyola Chicago's run was incredible. However, you knew that there was going to be a bitter end at some point.
And it's also, it depends on how they play the sport. So if they're, like, Chicago Loyola, their first two wins in the tournament were by one possession or less.
Magical.
They were their buzzer beaters.
Yeah.
So they were incredible wins. What I don't like are the underdogs like the Ottawa Senators last year getting literally an overtime period away from making the Stanley Cup based on lack of goal scoring
going,
and trap defense.
The one thing that was going for the Ottawa Senators last year, and now we saw what they really are, is that they had someone playing like the best player in the world. And it wasn't Sidney Crosby.
I've never seen a team so much different without one player on the ice. With Carlson, that team was
Carlson.
A high offensive power. And without him, Jersey Devils of the early 2000s.
Yeah, no, last year, like in that playoff run, it wasn't just Carlson. It was two people. Craig Anderson was hot. So they had
he was hot
goalie,
all year.
And they had a guy playing as the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Taking the mantle, if only for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now you saw... He had surgery. That dude was doing that on a bum ankle.
He played that whole playoffs pretty much on one leg.
Yeah. And he was, again, taking the mantle of the best player of the world for a little bit.
Yeah.
And to see that, you know, he's not the same this year. He's recovering from the injury. So he's not at all worldly level. And Craig Anderson kind of deviated back to the norm a little bit. And they're a 30th place team.
Mm-hmm.
So
Matt Duchene wanted to go play playoff hockey. That's tragic.
Well,
honestly,
that's
cold
awesome.
Take exposed. Go get them.
That was awesome because, the Colorado Avalanche. And you know what? I think this is going to branch into what I wanted to talk about here with the Sabres season ending. There is hope, Buffalo. There is hope, Sabres fans, because I look at Colorado and I see a lot of the comparisons.
Yeah.
You have your set piece in Jack Eichel. What is Colorado's set piece? Nathan MacKinnon. You have a number two overall pick riding on the shotgun. Hey, Gabriel Landeskog, number two overall pick riding shotgun with Nathan MacKinnon. Sam Reinhardt, he's not the guy, but he's a pretty good guy. And he's now producing without Eichel, which is also good to see. You have solid pieces in the foundation in Ryan O'Reilly. Rasmus Ristolainen, if he gets that true assistance on the top pairing, he can get better, and he has been, at points, fantastic, and at other points, not great at all. So he's very inconsistent, but at the same time, there's days where he's really fun to watch. And then, the best part about everything here is they did that without necessarily a set answer and goal, too, in Colorado. I mean, Semyon Varlamov used to be really solid. Now, not so much. And if the Sabres can get something like that in goaltending, if they fix up the team, you look at the blueprint of what Colorado did, they could fix this mess pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I think it's optimistic, even not just like when you think of personnel on the roster, you just think where Colorado was the past couple of years to the jump they took this year, it doesn't always have to be this Colorado lengthy step-by-step process.
Colorado actually had a pretty good year, so.
I will say this, though. Colorado has been up and down.
Well, no, that's true. But, like, last year more so.
Yeah.
They were terrible. Yeah. So you can see that jump quickly. Bad. It doesn't have to be a huge process where it's, you know, step by step. Yeah. You know, next year the Sabres like 27th.
Don't do it for the sake of trying to save your ass.
No, of course not.
You have to do this right. But I would not be shocked if this team played better than they did this year, if only because A, you can't get worse, and B, sometimes a team underperforms than what they looked like on paper.
Mm.
And we saw that this year. Kyle Poso, recovering from his scary, health issue from the end of that last season.
Mm-hmm.
Second half of this year,
he was pretty good.
He was pretty good. Sam Reinhardt had probably one of the most unspeakable slumps you can have.
Yep.
Still ends up over 40 points and a point per point every
50
other game.
Points.
You end up,
You end up at 50.
Career high 25 goals, right?
25 goals, 25 assists. And
on fire since January 1st.
Yeah.
So I look at this team and I think, yeah, some nights you are incredibly frustrating and inconsistent, but if you can fix up the depth on this team, Casey Mittelstadt probably puts himself in the top six.
I was going to say, I thought it was huge seeing the young forwards come in at the end of the season.
Alex Nylander played pretty well in these three games.
Got his first goal against Tampa.
He made some really nice plays. I've
seen a lot of good things out of him.
Against Ottawa, he was making some really nice plays. He had this great pass to a post in the slot from behind the net, like in that corner, just right to him. One time around, I'm just like, he's making plays. He tried to put the one shot that he had in front, he tried to put it a little too fine, goes over the net, but I respected what he was trying to do there. He was trying to just, instead of shoving it into the goalie rapidly, he's like, I've got time, I'm going to try to put this thing right up to the crossbar.
Things are starting to slow down for him, because you saw earlier in the season, he was really struggling to find any offensive production in Rochester, and he was recovering from injury.
First game of the prospects tournament, he gets hurt, and that takes down any development that he was going
to
be working on.
And then the
on.
Second half of the year, you've seen just in Rochester and then translating to Buffalo, you're seeing that offensive playmaking that we saw back when he was with, the Steelheads?
Yes.
So it's looking up. Let me ask you a question, because Mittelstadt, he had, 5 points in 6 games?
Yes.
Does he come in next year as the second center?
No.
Is he up in our top six next year?
I would say third center.
I would say third center with a lot of power play time.
Is this counting Ryan O'Reilly?
Yes. Yeah.
I think the Sabres
because they
have
could
to.
Deal O'Reilly. I mean, you've seen that be tossed around a lot.
I've seen the idea tossed around and Pierre LeBrun.
Pierre LeBrun and Matt Beauvais was just on Sports Talk Sunday today with Brayton and Joe, and both of them pretty much have said the only way you see the Sabres trade Ryan O'Reilly is if they get an offer that really sweeps them from their feet.
But Ryan O'Reilly hasn't been bad.
I mean, a lot of people don't like him because he's not a good skater, everyone's like, oh, Housley wants good skaters. That's why people don't want to trade a Poso. That's why people want to trade Reinhardt too.
Because the Sabres lack speed pretty much everywhere. They want one guy. They look at one of the stars and they're saying he's not a fast player, we need to move him.
O'Reilly still hit 60 points this year.
Right. Do people
expect
more out of him?
He's
maybe
a workhorse center.
He is, not you know, he is what biggest, he is. Maybe people are expecting more out of him.
My biggest thing is this. It was a tough year. People are going to claim for heads because it was a tough year.
Yeah.
I mean, not just on the win-loss
record.
Looked rough.
It was exactly the same thing with Colorado last year.
But go ahead and tell me that I'm supposed to be surprised that people are angry about a team that's playing badly when they have nothing against Scott Wilson, but Scott Wilson's in top 6 minutes.
Right. You
have no depth.
You give O'Reilly that production in a playoff season, I don't think you're getting the critics that he's getting.
No.
Also, he does things, again, that you don't. You know, when you just look at the basic stat sheet, of goals and assists and plus minus, he broke the record for most playoff or face-off wins this year.
Yeah, he did.
But
Rod
again, the depth
record.
Is the biggest concern with this team, because how am I supposed to be surprised if Zemgus Girgensons, Jason Pominville, and Scott Wilson are skating in your top six? You are not allowed to be shocked that they're bad. Of course they weren't going to do well at this case.
No, right. You're right. You're relying heavily on a lot of these young forwards to all stick.
You're relying
and odds
heavily
are that's not gonna happen.
On 15, because a lot of times you would notice that. I mean, I feel like there was a lot of puck watching with Jack Eichel when he had it. A lot of people are just, they're fixed on him because he does so many amazing things that they don't skate. You need someone to skate with him that can actually roll.
And that's where I'm not necessarily sure that Casey Mittelstadt is the third line center. I can't guarantee this because Mittelstadt can skate. He can move. He's got a nice vision for the ice. That's why Reinhart played well with him. That's why Kane played well with him, is because they are guys that their mind's always moving, their feet are always moving. Reinhart may not be the fleetest of foot, but he's thinking the whole time, and he's moving. He's not staring at Jack when he's actually making plays.
Yeah, Mittelstadt can make the most of it, but don't you want him to elevate another line? Because Mittelstadt also has playmaking ability.
That's the catch 22 that I have with it. That's why, though, I have to say, though, I can't guarantee he's the third line center.
I got you. No, that makes sense.
If you put, for example, put Bailey Baptiste Rodriguez on a third line, I'm cool with it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd be cool with
that, with that because of how well they played together as a group.
Yeah.
And that's why I'd say I'd be okay if Mittelstadt does happen to be with Eichel on a line. You can do what you want there with me. I'm all right with it.
The biggest thing is that
last three games,
not sure.
You saw Casey Mittelstadt, you saw Alex Nylander, you saw a lot of these the competition for roles, and you saw offense. You saw something in these last three games that you weren't seeing a lot of, and that's goals. This team, they go shot for shot with Tampa, lose 7-5. You know who that happens to? Teams around the league, everyone. Tampa victimizes anyone because they've got players like Kucherov and Stamkos and just Pilata's depth. Tyler Johnson, you don't hear much about him anymore because of how well those other three are. Victor Hedman, Ryan McDonagh. Vasilevsky is a solid goaltender in this league. Buffalo got him for $5 million. So, go ahead and tell me that it's supposed to be this dark, and I'm not going to believe you, because all that needs to happen is you need to fix up a top 9 situation. Yeah. And you know how you do that? The kids in Rochester. They're going to compete for these jobs. They look like they're taking the next step. C.J. Smith was an all-star this year in Rochester. Amazing at what he was able to do. Justin Bailey has looked the part. The reason that he couldn't stay was because he was an emergency call-up. They wanted to get Mittelstadt in. They wanted to get Nylander in. They didn't want to necessarily put that at risk if they had to call someone up. They only have 4 moves to do. And I do believe that that's how that works. So they sent Bailey down because they had to.
Yeah, when you're in an emergency call.
It wasn't because of how he was playing. It was because they had to.
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
I mean, it's also the defense, too, we got to think about. I mean, the defense has some... It's got a lot of work to do, but even with the defense, Gooley looked really good against Tampa Bay.
And strangely enough,
Gooley's looked good.
You know, he had the shot on the Nylander goal.
Casey Nelson has looked solid.
Casey Nelson's earned a nice little
contract. Yeah.
The funniest part about the defense is there's an 18.5% chance that it fixes itself.
There is. There is. You're right. There is.
There's
got to remember
18.5% chance they don't have to do much with the defense. Yes.
No guarantee of anything though. We could fall.
No guarantee.
We get 4.
You know,
which is absurd.
That George is not going to be back. You know, Justin Falk's not going to be back. We don't know what's going to happen with Antipin. I don't know.
I think he's going to sign elsewhere. I mean, I don't think the Sabres are going
to. The nice thing is that he is still an RFA.
I don't think they make a concerned effort.
I'm really not so sure about it.
We're looking at a young defensive core probably next year because you would anticipate your top 4 being Ristolainen's going to be in there. I would assume Gooley as a left shot is going to be top 4. Right?
We'll see. Well, it depends on what the combination is.
I mean, I would think Casey Nelson's going to.
Yeah, you got Nelson. Like, and then
you have to beat out a lot of guys. Bogosian.
And Marco Scandella. It's not like we have some.
Marco Scandella is proven to be very solid. And then you got Jake McCabe coming back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well,
everyone forgot about Jake McCabe.
Jake McCabe, though, this year, he kind of worried.
He did take a step back this year.
I'll take McCabe and Scandella as the last defensive pairing.
I'll take it as a second pairing, honestly.
Yeah.
I'll take it as the last one.
I would say this.
I want to give these young guys a shot.
If you want to break Gooley and Nelson in a little bit better, you can give them those bottom line minutes where they're facing the weaker competition. And allow them to continue to grow their game.
Ideally, you're going to have Nelson, Gooley, and a rookie probably playing, you know, half
know
of your defensive. If you get Dahlin,
then Dahlin's going on the top with Risto. That's more likely, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Are the Sabres taking defense no matter what in the first round?
I think they have to.
Again, because look at what we're talking about.
How strong the class is at the top.
Because after Dahlin, it's what? Hughes?
It's Quinn Hughes and then Adam Boqvist.
And Boqvist. So
I feel like both of those guys would be up here too, though.
Yeah, but I...
No, Quinn Hughes...
I think they're
Hughes, I think, would benefit for another year at Michigan. Boqvist, I... see, Boqvist, to me, he's got the he's got the extremely high ceiling, kind of like Josh Allen. He's got that kind of a ceiling where he could be that dominant player.
Great. That's what we go with.
Will he have the same draft Twitter hate that Josh Allen
but
does?
No, no. He's not going to get that because he doesn't – he's not going to have that low of a floor. But his
– Do people hate him as much as they hate Josh Allen?
No.
Okay.
Also, you know, the NFL Twitter versus NHL Twitter is also two different things.
Less aggressive, I would say.
Yeah. Boqvist won't go in right away. He may take a year. He may take 2 years. But if he hits his stride and he really gets it going by 20, 21 years old, he could be one of the best defensemen in the league.
Can we talk about the lottery for a minute? The Sabres have 18.5% chance to win the first. It's what, 16% to get the second. 50% chance they get the fourth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Why? I understand not wanting teams to bottom out and to tank. The Sabres didn't do that this year. You know, they still bottomed out and finished 31st, but they didn't do it in the strategic way that they did back in 2015.
Yeah.
Leagues don't want this to happen. It's not just in the NHL. It's the NBA, too. There's been talk of doing a tournament for the top picks instead of having just the worst teams fall in line in those in the draft order. And to me, what it is for the leagues is they want teams to try and they want to be competitive and they want to try to make the playoffs. My thing is teams stay in this irrelevancy when they don't win these lotteries because they're not getting these top picks in the draft.
Yeah.
And you look at, to make an NBA comparison, you look at the Philadelphia 76ers. Right now they're the 3 seed in the East, and they finally have stars in Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Markel Fultz and a complete roster around those stars. But it took them 5 years because the NBA lottery system, and the same with the NHL, is the odds of you getting the first overall pick or, top two are not guaranteed at all. And, the NHL used to be in 2015. Like, the whole reason we wanted the Sabres to finish 30th was to get pick two at least. We could get McDavid
or Eichel.
You got
the guarantee.
Now you don't even have that. To me, it keeps teams in this middle irrelevancy where they're going to keep being mediocre because they're not getting the star power. Whereas to me, I like how the NFL does it. If you get a top pick, odds are you're going to grab – you have a higher percent chance to – add an elite player.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in the middle of the draft, and that makes teams better quicker. And I feel like that's what you should want as a league.
You saw it.
Why do you want it? Do you want people to be like the Memphis Grizzlies of the world, or teams that are just fighting for the 8 or 7 seed? I don't like that idea at all. I think that keeps teams at the bottom longer, and the lottery is almost being counterproductive. And it's aggravating that the Sabres could fall all the way to 4, considering just how bad they were this year.
Just like Colorado last year.
And Vegas, as an expansion team, because of the system, the 6 overall
they
pick
had the
last
sixth
year?
Pick, yeah.
An expansion team had the 6 overall pick. The lottery system
draft, that's
drives me up a wall.
Dumb, yeah. And then
lucky that they were good this year.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's such a crazy situation that Vegas is this good. They have 109 points.
Yeah.
The best expansion team ever.
But no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Should you want teams to just go for these veteran, these average vets to just be
to try to
why
make
do you
the
want
playoffs?
Why do you want teams that are fighting for that? I want star power. I want teams like Philly to go from really bad to potentially title contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that is just to suck. I like how the NFL does their draft order, and I think it's a shame, and I think it's ridiculous that the Sabres could fall to the 4th pick this year.
I think part of it does have to do with the fact that, I get the lottery system. I get it for 2 picks. If it's only the first pick,
I like
the lottery. I respect that. However, because of what happened with the Sabres,
but even can you prove the Sabres tanked? Like, can you can you prove?
Yes.
It's not a lot of paranoia.
Jerry
too.
DiMigo was a thing.
I think true.
that's all the proof I need on the witness stand, Your Honor. I can go home now.
It's just I think leagues are maybe being too paranoid about tanking, and they're prioritizing that in their decisions about how they're making their draft format.
Yes.
And You know, unless you're Mark Cuban with the Mavericks and you're coming out and saying it, like, we're going to suck until we get stars.
Darcy
Mark Cuban
did
has
that.
Just come out and said it.
True. Darcy did that. He said there's going to be a lot of suffering.
Sure, they're hinting at it.
And Tim Murray didn't help anything by saying, we might get our pee-pee slapped from the league.
And Sam,
which was the reason I fell in love with the men and I got my heart broken. Because he's.
I'm gonna
sucked.
Miss him for his quotes.
Yes, I'm gonna miss him for his quotes.
What a great! He was always a great interview. Always.
Great interview. I hope he steps on a hallway full of Legos. But yeah, like. But
unless
again,
you're coming out and saying it, though, like Cuban has, a lot of teams just use like process as a front, and behind the real meaning of process is, hey, we're going to suck for a long time, and we're going to do it on purpose until we get this right.
Process.
I'm not talking about Sean McDermott's process. I'm talking about Sam Hinkie's process. Right,
here comes
process.
Here comes Philadelphia fan Louis. All right. So
the processes are very different. I don't know what Sean's process is. It's maybe just give me time.
No, yeah. I think. It might have just been the buzzword to make sure to help protect the
lower
regime.
Expectations too.
Yeah, and then the next thing you know, they set the world on fire with a 9-7 season and a bad offense, and
which kind of sucks for McDermott now because that process is going to have to shorten.
No,
he's quicken up a little bit after the playoff.
Not necessarily, and here's why: the pressure's off, the playoff drought's over.
Yeah,
one of the stupidest amounts of pressure that there was in sports. And I will say, I
to
mean,
the point
I
where it was I'm making
a, I'm
a team. Mem-
I'm a member mm-hmm. of the media. I can go ahead and say that it's kind of, you know, something that we push on them too. But
is it the most ridiculous pressure in sports? Because a team was making personnel decisions based on ending this drought instead of actually going for something,
unlikely.
And it kept them in the middle for 17 years.
It's so unlikely for a team to be that bad for that long.
That bad, but again, though, they picked top five. I think twice, maybe.
Yes, but it was just so consistently...
Average.
Not even average.
Not even average. Mediocre.
Yeah, it was... No, not even mediocre. It was so consistently below average, but not
is
bad.
Is it mediocre below average?
No.
No?
I'd say it's like kind of like the same thing as average.
Right. Yeah, I would probably put that as average.
So I would say it was just below average, but never bad or terrible, except for two seasons.
That's what happens when you don't tank.
But again,
exactly.
Again,
do you want teams to be like the Bills?
Yeah, no.
And fight for 7-9 every year?
Well, I will say this: the Sabres do have to clean something up in order to change that narrative there, because Edmonton has had it happen for them, and and now Buffalo is kind of doing the same thing. Edmonton is never meant to tank; they're just terrible.
They were just bad.
And then they got McDavid, of course.
They got McDavid and one playoff appearance, and now McDavid's over the triple digits, and they still suck and are out of the playoff race by 17 points.
They were close to getting to the Western Conference Finals last year, though.
They were 17 one win away from the
one
West
win,
Finals.
One win away.
But how bad can you be as a general manager to have that guy and be out of the playoff
but
race?
You can't,
seven.
You can't. And you can't blame. You can't blame tanking on that, though. I blame them trading Taylor Hall for Adam Larson
and Jordan Eberle for Ryan Strome.
So,
and signing Milan Lucic. Like, it's not. They got the best player to come into the league since Sidney Crosby, and they can't build him.
Everyone wants
and the Sabres did the same thing with Jack Eichel.
Hang on. You're telling me the same jackass that traded Tyler Seguin.
Exactly.
Is a bad general manager? And
everyone,
no way.
Everyone wants to blame the tanking. Like, oh, see, this is look
it's
at Edmonton.
It's not the tank. No,
you suck forever, and you're still going to suck even when you get a star. It's like, no.
Right.
The tank
tanking
is about
getting
a star player.
And then you're supposed to – then there's more to that. You
and
have to
that
build
is why
him.
Tim Murray got fired is because the rebuilding process
rebuild.
From
but
there
they
was not good.
A lot of beat reporters and people that were against the tank like to blame the tank. See, it didn't do anything, and it's delaying the process even longer. So, no. It worked. We got a star player in the NHL that's 20, 21 years old, and he's going to be here for 10 years. So it did work when you're actually putting it in a microscope.
This
team still sucks, so it wasn't worth it. That's not true.
When it comes
you have to build.
When it comes to the tank argument, I just use the Leafs. They tanked too.
They tanked gracefully, though, Frank. Remember,
they tanked gracefully.
They did it the right way.
No,
as if you can
tank
the right way.
They did tank the right way because they were able to. They kept
compared to the Sabres, though. The Sabres did it dirty. Apparently,
right. They did do it.
It was
dirty.
A messy tank.
They did it dirty by trading away everybody.
We are out of time here, but before we go.
Sabres did make an announcement now.
What's up,
Nylander, Baptiste, Porter, Brendan Gulley, Casey Nelson.
Matt Tennyson somehow. Omar and Adam Wilcox all sent to Rochester.
Good. The Amherst are finally
get ready,
good.
And now we're getting ready to
That's one of the good things Boschel did this year was building Rochester up because they've been so bad for so
long. That's how it is. In order, and I'll
they're
admit
coming,
this.
Just like we said on the last podcast.
Oh, they're
right?
coming!
They're coming back they're coming. For the playoffs, and they're going to go ahead and mess your stuff up, AHL. You best be ready.
They've been put on notice.
Because those guys have NHL speed.
Hey, Rochester fans.
They're kicking. They're not just knocking on the door now. They're ready to bust that SOB open with power. And it was just like we said. Everything's fine, Rochester fans. They're back. They're angry. And hey, they've been playing well in NHL speed. So,
Hey, Rochester fans, remember when you thought you weren't getting those guys back?
Yeah, remember how we were allegedly injuring your players?
Yeah, and ruining your season on purpose?
Was Allmark also sent down?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look at that. We protected him in the last three games. You're welcome.
You're welcome. God.
All right. So there it is. I got my tangent in for the Leftovers podcast.
Love the Derek Kramer rants.
Oh, they get intense sometimes.
Vintage.
But here's my thing.
You gotta make the right moves.
Ready?
That's how you build.
Hang on, my rant happened because Frank redirected me from ending the show.
Well,
that's Frank's trademark.
Little news update. Little news
is
wrap
to
up.
Distract me, and then I get into the rant mode, just like
I work in a news station.
Like how you did it with
when
the
news appears. When news appears, I have to announce it. Oh I work in a news station.
God,
can't help himself.
Can't help.
Anyway.
It.
I want to end this podcast on an awesome note. Congratulations to Owen Parker.
Yes.
Bulldog.
Yeah. Yes.
And the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds.
Giant goalie.
Giant goalie son.
Giant goalie son.
To Sault Ste. Marie.
200th overall.
I am so ecstatic for them.
I'm so happy for
them. So happy
Bulldog.
For them.
Yeah.
And I have now finding out it's really hard to buy a Greyhounds jersey.
Can you get one customized?
I am looking at it right now, and it's either expensive or you have to go to like some second-hand site.
Yeah.
So,
do they sell knockoff Greyhound jerseys?
They might, but guess what? He's going to the same organization that has produced the likes of Joe Thornton, Paul Coffey, and the greatest to ever play the game.
There we go. That's big.
Mm-hmm. That's the same place he's going to.
Yep.
He is big.
He's big, and I'm going to say
I am very honored at the fact that I'm going to be able to play on the same team as him with the 11-day power play.
That's right. Yeah.
Congratulations again to Owen, to Bulldog, to all of the Parkers, and to everyone that has helped them out along the way. I mean, hell, Jeremy White has been driving him to practices and games lately. So, I mean, like, everyone at WGR is so happy for you guys, and I would be remiss if I didn't at least talk about it for these 5 minutes, because this is awesome, and the saga continues. So whatever the next step is, we'll see what happens.
Can we do one more thing before we wrap up the show?
Look at Frank redirecting.
No. This is in relation.
He is a goalie.
Welcome to the Leftovers podcast.
I do redirect things.
He does redirect things.
No, this is in relation to the former of NHL players who played for the Greyhounds. You mentioned Wayne Gretzky played for them. Can you name the other three notable Hockey Hall of Famers who have played for the Greyhounds?
Well, I named Paul Coffey.
You dead?
I'm
so
out of
one.
This game.
Oof.
You named the other two.
Oh. Hockey Hall of Famers, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me
so many of them.
Can you give me some eras?
This
game
one
could
of
take
them,
hours.
No. 90s, 2000s.
Okay.
Okay, one of them. One of them.
And the other?
The other.
Don't touch anything, Mike! Hey! No! 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 Yeah, Mike Jafari messing with us on the board there, and now I just dragged him into the studio.
Okay.
But I'm not turning on his mic.
Okay, I'll share Louis.
There you go.
Sounds good.
So Mike Jafari, one of the producers at WGR as well.
Okay, he can join in.
He can join on. Okay, Mike, I need some help with
this. We're playing the Greyhounds guessing game.
Because as everyone would know, Bulldog's son going to Sault Ste. Marie. All right, pass that mic over to Mike so that we can try to help out with this.
So Wayne Gretzky played for the Greyhounds.
He did.
So did Paul Coffey, that's who you said.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who are the other two notable Hockey Hall of Famers who have played for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds? One of them played in the eras of the 90s to the 2000s.
Okay.
The other one, 70s. Goaltender.
Ooh. Ken Dryden.
No.
Mm. Mm. I'm out on this
Tony Esposito.
Yes.
Yes, mm. There we go. There we good, go. Good work there, Mike. Mm-hmm. So do you have a country? Canada?
Yes.
Canada-born. That doesn't help.
Lindros.
No.
Not a bad guess.
Brett Lindros.
I was expecting you to say Brett Gretzky, but okay.
Keith Gretzky.
Keith Gretzky. Yeah.
Oh, man. This is not easy.
Ted Nolan he played from...
Yeah. He's more notable from the 90s to the 2000s, but his playing career was 1981 to 2004.
Adam Oates.
No.
Mm. That was a good guess, though, right?
Not a bad guess.
Not a bad guess.
Not a bad guess.
Not a bad guess.
Mike's a lot stronger at this than I am.
To 2004, huh? Doug Waite?
No.
No, he's American. No.
Do we have... If I ask for a team, will it give it away?
I'll give you the team he started his career with.
Okay.
The Hartford Whalers.
Kevin Dineen.
Brendan Shanahan.
No.
Kevin Dineen.
No.
Andrew Castles.
No.
Hmm. Jeff Sanderson.
Jeff Sanderson?
No.
Oh, damn it.
This is tough.
Started with the Whalers. Chris Pronger.
No.
Wait, he's not a Hall of Famer yet.
He's not a Hall of Famer yet.
He's still technically...
Andrew Castles isn't a Hall of Famer either.
So we're looking at the elite of the elite that started with the Whalers.
Ron Francis.
Yes.
There it is.
There we go.
Booyah.
Bam.
Archuleta came in.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah,
you
made this last two.
A, you made it fantastically funny that I'm yelling at you on the podcast. And now B, you helped me solve this little quandary there. So Mike, there it is. 2 for 2 on Mike there.
Yep, that's right.
I did come in with the Paul Coffey and the Joe Thornton played there too.
Yep.
So that's going to be another one added in in the future. So, hey, there we go. I think there's no time better than the present with four people in the studio, more than we started with, actually.
Sounds fantastic.
To wrap up the podcast here, since Mike jumped in here, Mike, why don't you tell the people, because, you tweet out things sometimes.
Rarely.
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 So, you know, you can follow Mike if you want.
I just use it to look at you guys, just laugh at you guys and... We'll see how stupid you guys are.
There it is.
That's all I use it for.
There it is. Mike
That's
Jafari.
A great way to use it.
Mike Jafari, Sunday producer for WGR, and he helps out with Sports Talk Sunday with Fast Track, and of course, throughout the Buffalo Bills season, he is my producer for when we start bright and early at 7 a.m. So thanks for causing chaos and then dropping in, Mike.
Isn't that what I do on the ice too?
Yes, that is. Cause chaos and then. And we end up with penalties. All right. Mike is
also, nobody goes near his net, though.
Mike is also going to be part of the 11-day power play for Team WGR, along with me, Bulldog, Owen, Jeremy, Joe, TJ. Oh, man. There's
Brayton.
Brayton. Well, Brayton does not know what
to do. Do they call penalties in the 11-day power play?
Don't be that guy. We are doing this for cancer research. Do not be a ruffian.
Are there referees? Are there officials?
Yes, I'd imagine so. This isn't like a
goal. Well, if we only have two lines, like, I'm going to have to get penalties to get rest,
Oh, my God. Oh, and of course. Fine. You take penalties in front of our boss, Alan Davis, who is also on the team and was a member of the first 11-day power play. You go ahead and do
that. I'm not dirty. I'm just physical.
Oh, boy.
You know that.
I know that, and this is going to be interesting, though. Oh, and Ryan Gates is playing with us as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Team WGR for the 11-day power play there. Louie. Thank you for stopping in.
No problem. It was fun.
And Louie, let the people know where they can find you.
Follow me on Twitter at DB Sports Talk.
And Louie is a member of the Buffalo State radio station where Frank and I have originated from. So, like you said, and look at that, Mike Jafari, a member of
There's
the BNY.
A lot
BNY,
of BNY alumni here.
There is. The BNY there. So, shout out to WBNY hey.
We're the Amherst of the we're the prospect pool.
They're doing pretty good with the dev system, I think. So
development.
But So you can find him over on WBNY on Mondays as well. And of course, you can follow me at Derek Kramer WGR.
And you can follow me at Frank R. Curry.
And hey, again, congratulations to Owen Parker, Bulldog, and the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. Thank you for listening, as usual, to the Leftovers Podcast. We tried to make this a short one, but, let's just call that, thanks for listening, and as always, Peace out.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.